Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
You know, resilience is something that we learn as we go through life and manage the ups and downs. And I've certainly discovered that, you know, when things have got tough, is that that's where you really truly learn. You do not learn from comfort.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is the absolute must-have life skills that will set you up for success and happiness from international digital marketing guru, Jeff Bullis. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So I have to tell you, this is a very exciting episode for me. I never honestly thought I would be interviewing today's guest on our show. I have been following Jeff Bullis for a couple of years now because he puts out amazing content and lots of it about digital marketing and social media marketing. And I've found it to be very helpful. But Jeff, I never thought he'd be on the show. That's his area, or I've always thought of that as his area, in the area of being one of the world's foremost international digital marketing, you know, gurus, I'll say. Just to give you an idea, some of his stats, just to, you know, so that you know that he's so successful, why he's so successful in this area. His website, jeffbullis.com, has helped over 30 million people in the past 10 years. Forbes has named him as both a top 20 influencer of chief marketing officers and among the world's top 10 social marketing talent. And Inc.com named him one of the top 20 digital marketing experts to follow on Twitter, which I think might have something to do with his more than half a million followers on Twitter. His handle is at Jeff Bullis if you want to find him. But Jeff states, you know, on his website and in his writings that his mission is to inspire and educate people to win at business and life in a digital world. And that's where I think the worlds collide, so to speak. His desire to inspire and educate people to win at life really comes through in a lot of his writings. And that's what brought us to him. I read one of Jeff's blog articles just a few weeks ago, and immediately within the first couple of paragraphs, I thought, wow, this is content that would be really helpful to our listeners. This is stuff that, you know, that people going through a difficult time would benefit from hearing. So I reached out to Jeff through his website, didn't know if I'd hear back, but within 10 minutes, I got a very gracious email response saying that he would be pleased to appear on the show. Little did I know he was in Sydney, Australia. So we had a little fun coordinating since he's in the next day from where we're taping the show. But we're thrilled to be having him here with us today. So thank you so much for being here and welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, ladies. And it's great to be speaking to you from the future. So that's in Australia. We're ahead of you guys, just letting you know. But we do not have the lottery results at this stage.
Well, that's too bad. No.
not that far ahead, huh?
Yeah.
Well, welcome from me as well, Jeff. I'm super excited to have you here and happy to have you here because I love what you write about, especially the blogs that you wrote about, you know, the tips for how to have success in life and happiness. And, you know, who doesn't want success and happiness? I mean, it's really the things that everybody wants in life. I mean, you know, happiness is such a, it's, I think of the old Sound of Music, you know, how do you catch a wave and pin it down? Or, you know, how do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? That happiness just seems sort of elusive. And so, but I really, as I read through your list, I thought, you know, for my own self personally, they were a lot of the things that I've come to also see as sort of my own mantras in life and how I have come to be able to be at a place of peace in my own life. So, but one of the things that I know for sure is that you don't come to these aha moments just by, you know, having fun. These moments of learning come through the dark times, come from pain. And I wanted to know if you would be willing to share with us a little bit about your background and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, it's the blog was, I suppose, my little inspiration piece that showed up. I was a teacher originally, actually, and I taught.
Ah, me too. A long time before I became a lawyer.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I taught for about 6 years, and I really didn't enjoy it. I sort of didn't want to teach people that didn't want to learn. They're called teenagers. So in the main, a lot of teenagers want to learn. But so I decided at the age of 27 to pivot and change something else. So I got into the digital industry, essentially, and technology. I've been in it ever since. So I just love the pace of change. And when social media showed up, I was really fascinated by this intersection of humanity and technology, because social media has made it all easy for us to be publishers. And for some, that's, you know, cat videos and baby videos. But we've all become publishers, and the phone just, you know, created that perfect storm around social media, where you both had social media available to you all the time. And that's created some issues for, you know, we're seeing the addiction of both social media and smartphones. But it was back in 2009, March, actually, so it's nearly 10 years this month, or will be 10 years this month since we, I read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week book, which was sort of painted this idea of a lifestyle or a life built around this digital world. And I liked that idea. So, and then there was a book by David Mim and Scott called New Rules of Marketing and PR. And what was really interesting about that was he talked about the ability of content to attract an audience. And I was used to building businesses and driving sales by outbound, you know, telemarketing, cold calling, all that stuff we love to hate. David Mim Scott's concept was basically, if you create content on, you'll attract an audience, and you'll actually attract sales and opportunities. And that's exactly what happened. So within about a year of starting a blog, and I started a blog based upon a little sentence in one of HubSpot's blogs that said, if you have an inkling of what you want to start a business on, what you want to write about, start a blog. So I didn't even know what a blog was, you know, 11 years ago. So that's what happened. And I hit the start button on using WordPress, very simple, basic design, and started writing quite badly, really. If you saw my writing back then, you'd be horrified. I still am. I'm still having counselling and getting over that trauma. So we're nearly 10 years in. It's been an absolute fascinating journey. Within about 6 to 12 months, I've been invited to speak in New Zealand by a lovely gentleman called Johnny Henriksen. He was willing to pay me to speak. Then he invited me to be on a startup, which 8 years later, we've got 50 staff and now one of Facebook's global partners, and raised about $5 or $6 million, and we're profitable. That's been an incredible journey to be. So what's happened for me by creating and publishing and then sharing it with the world, my ideas, imperfect as they are, is the world has basically showed up for me. It's just been a fascinating journey. And in the last year, it's been really interesting. Now I've built the platform, now I really want to share what I've learned along the way, I suppose, about life. And that involves being an entrepreneur, being a father, being a partner. So Yeah.
Well, it's amazing. Your blog has had, you know, such a far reaching ability to bring people's attention to your words and your thoughts and your lessons. And that's exactly what drew me to you. Was there was a blog post just a few weeks ago called Five Life Skills That Successful People Master That Others Don't. And I will, everyone, put a link to the blog in our show notes. And then there is also another blog that also references the six life skills to set you up for success and happiness. And I have to say, as I said in the intro, immediately within the first few paragraphs of that blog, there was an emotion there, and it almost felt like you were reaching out and saying, look, I know some things. I've learned these things that, you know, life can be hard, but that's when you learn. You don't learn what you had. A comfort is not a good teacher. I pulled that right out of there, and that really resonated with me. But I could feel that there were difficult life lessons that you had and that you were trying to share there. You know, would you be able to share one of those life lessons with our listeners?
Yeah, it was about middle of last year, 8 months ago, where I lost my partner with a battle with depression. That was very traumatic. The lessons from that have been profound. You know, resilience is something that we learn as we go through life and manage the ups and downs. And I've certainly discovered that, you know, when things have got tough, is that that's where you really truly learn. You do not learn from comfort. That challenged me and still challenges me today to try to find ways that make life work and make life happy. And I don't mean happiness in terms of just fun. I mean, I'm talking about, and what I've really realized is, you know, quality human relationships are one of the absolute cores to happiness. In fact, one of the longest studies on happiness in the world, I think it's done by Harvard, 76 years, they discovered by a long way quality human relationships were absolutely key to actual true happiness. And, you know, we like nice stuff, but stuff doesn't make you happy. It lasts for 5 minutes. If you're lucky, it might be a day if you really, you know, have good luck. My partner, she taught me basically how important quality relationships were, and I'm so indebted to her in terms of that. You know, I just learned by observing her. She was silent mentoring, the way she would remember people's birthdays. These are life lessons that you learn over time. And I think being over the age of 50 now, I realize that the next part of life is fascinating, because I think you gain some wisdom along the way, and that's why I really suppose I love teaching now, not teenagers who don't want to learn, but adults that really want to thrive and flourish in this digital world. And so, yeah, it's been bumpy journey the last 8 months, but I've learned a lot along the way, and we're still learning, and that's what life is all about at the end of the day, is continuous learning.
Yeah, and getting back up after, you know, a big kick in the stomach, right? I mean,
yep.
And it's really hard to do. Sometimes you just don't want to, but you find the strength to do it, and then you realize that you're much stronger than you ever thought that you were, which brings me to one of your other points, which is from your article on the six life skills, and that is resilience. And you talk about how resilience is one of the essential life skills. And that's part of that getting back up again after you've gotten that proverbial kick in the stomach. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, because I discovered a very interesting life philosophy I hadn't heard about until a few years ago, which is Stoicism. And what I've discovered as humans, we live on the edge of, you know, success, chaos, and tragedy. And it doesn't mean that you welcome it, but this is where, you know, you really learn to be resilient. It's getting up every day. And this is where other skills like creating a routine, it becomes really, really important. So And this is the thing with kids, and is if you wrap them in cotton wool, we see a lot of it these days, you know, helicopter parents, and we've got playgrounds where, you could fall from 2 meters and you almost bounce because it's had, you know, nice cushioning put on there, the nanny state, all that sort of thing. I think we need to, yes, we want to protect our kids, but we want to make sure we don't protect them so much that they don't become resilient adults.
So they sort of, I think that goes to what Rebecca was saying about picking yourself up after a fall, or after getting kicked in the stomach, you know, with that ability to bounce back. And so many of our listeners, with a show that's somewhat centered around divorce, they are all going through, in many cases, a kick in the stomach or a drop or a fall, and having to find a way to pick themselves back up. And we hear from so many of them that, you know, some days it's just hard to get out of bed or to make themselves get up and take care of business. And one of the things in your article or in the blog post that popped out to me was that one of the, you know, as you're going through divorce and you're going through this hard change, this time of change, you know, divorce is a time of transformation. It is an opportunity to find a new road. And one of the life skills you talked about was finding a passionate purpose in life. But I think that can sound almost overwhelming to someone who's down on the bottom, who hasn't been able to bounce back. Do you have any, you know, tips for them on, or what, or some insight into what you mean in finding a passionate purpose?
Yeah, well, some people are born knowing what they want to do, like they want to play the violin at the age of 5. Okay, we've heard a lot of those. Great. Or they want to be a basketball player and they became the next Michael Jordan. Okay, cool. Studies show that that's about 20% of the population, if you're lucky, but according to some Stanford University.
I always think those people are so lucky. Like, they just knew right from the beginning.
I don't know any of them.
Yeah. I mean, I heard Jackson Browne talking about that. Like, he never even considered anything else other than writing songs and performing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. I remember watching a video by, I think it's Steven Spielberg, and he says that sometimes quite often life's purpose, what you're supposed to be doing, turns up as a whisper. It's really fascinating. If you miss the whisper, it doesn't shout. It's just quietly suggested or hinted at. It was just a lovely 2-minute YouTube video, and I went, that is so true. I was given a hint. The 3 intersections of both the book, Tim Ferriss' book, Before I Work Week, social media arriving, and then a whisper from the HubSpot blog. You know, if you want to write, to create anything that you love or start a business, start a blog. There's different ways to actually discover your passionate purpose as well. There's things like what I did too, which led me to the passionate purpose, was during my summer break as a school teacher, I went and tried 3 different jobs. So I put myself my own work experience program at the age of 27, and went and tried real estate, life insurance selling, and technology. And the one that felt right was technology, and that led me to where we are today. And I feel very blessed to have heard the whisper and also to have acted on it. We all want our kids to be happy, and I think just helping them go and try different things, but, you know, give them a safe place and space to flourish and thrive, and that's what my partner did, which I'm so blessed to have received. So we do that for our kids, but we don't want to make it so safe they don't risk. So we need to give them a safe place to actually thrive and flourish and go and experiment and try the world. Break some things and get some bruises, you know.
Coming up, more from Rebecca, Susan, and Jeff on absolute must-have life skills set you up for success and happiness.
And when you strike a moment in time like happened last year, it sort of distills what's important. It makes you reassess what our priorities.
We're going to take a quick break now to tell you about our new sponsor. We're really excited to be pairing with BetterHelp Online Counseling.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals?
BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you.
You know, much like Breaking Free Mediation lets you work with your mediator online, BetterHelp Online Counseling also allows you to connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's really convenient.
You can connect via phone or video, chat, text, in any areas like depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, anger, grief. Anything you share is confidential, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours.
And best of all, it's truly an affordable option. Our listeners get a 10% discount off their first month with discount code BREAKINGFREE.
So why not get started today? Just go to BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE.
That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more divorce topics in depth, such as It's Not Fair, Divorce Law versus Divorce Justice.
Every single person who walks into a divorce lawyer's office has their own notion of what should be fair.
And now we return to today's show.
So I've been hearing you talk a lot about, you know, your partner, who you lost fairly recently. And what I'm hearing you say, and a lot of what you're talking about, is what you're so grateful for in what you had and what you learned. And could you talk about the place that gratitude has in your life?
It's something I use a little app called the 5-Minute Journal. A friend of mine recommended it to me, and I would do that 5 days a week. I take a photo of where I am. That's not the bathroom normally. It's normally an outside shot.
But hey, you can be grateful for bathrooms sometimes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you know, when you don't have one, you're pretty grateful when you do.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Well, there's a lot of countries in the world that don't have lovely, hygienic bathrooms and showers.
I've been there.
Yeah. So, I'm thankful for. So I write three things down I'm grateful for each day, and it could be as simple as a hot cup of coffee, or it could be a space to read, or I spent some quality time with a good friend. They're the little things in life that we should be grateful for and just remember. So it actually plays a big role. I practice that pretty well every day, 5 days a week, working week generally. And then there's three things that make your day great as the other part of the 5-Minute Journal app. I'd really recommend it. So I've been using it to...
Oh, it's an app.
Yeah, it's an app on your phone.
Nice.
I've read about it. So I probably read about it in one of your blogs. but I think that concept of journaling in some fashion, that's something that I think Rebecca does as well, as I know I do that every morning. And trying to come out with my plan for the day, but also, you know, what I am grateful for, what I am looking forward to, even if they are the smallest things, like you mentioned the bathroom, but it could be the smallest thing, just waking up and seeing the beautiful light coming through the window, or making myself come up with things to write down has helped me to be more grateful, because I've become more aware of gratitude in my life and the good blessings that I have. So I do think that's a very helpful thing for sometimes when you're in a dark place, it can be hard to remember that there are so many good things in your life. So I think that can be helpful to our listeners. One of the other things that you said in that article that I was reading, and this one actually sounded a little scary to me, I have to say, because you said create deep work every day, which frankly sounded a little daunting to me. But then I read the words further along: I create, I publish, I exist. And so I felt that there was such that made me feel that there's a creative element, that you're talking about bringing a creativity into your life, and that creativity is important to success. Can you say some more about that?
Yeah, I think it's very, very important. I think a lot of people are defined by their jobs. And when they lose their jobs, they lose their sense of themselves. So at 65, they're given their gold watch, you know, not so much anymore these days, but they retire and who are they? And I think a lot of men struggle with that, especially. Mums are quite often defined by their children. So more so than men, because they're the nurturers, even though we share, you know, parental responsibilities. But I think, you know, giving yourself a space, I'm not talking having to write a novel, but, you know, write something down that you maybe learn each day. If you're a writer, there's sort of like one of the core things, try and make sure you write 500 words every day. Just sit down and start writing. If you like creating videos, create a video. If you're a photographer, go out and shoot some, you know, photos. So I think, or if you're an artist, go and paint something. I think setting aside some time to actually do something that's what I call content of consequence, that you can then go and share with the world, if you dare. And some people that really struggle with that. They're afraid of being judged. So this, for me, one of the greatest places I've learned from is actually creating. I've never had a real problem like hitting the first publish, you know, on the blog. Felt I was revealing myself to the world, and it wasn't, you know, that pretty early on with the writing. I got quite often the grammar police and the spelling police would turn up and give me a hard time. So,
they're always so, out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I basically make up my own grammar. And they say, what grammar is this? It's Jeff's grammar. So.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you, my dad was, he had come from China. He was an immigrant here, but he had gone to Columbia University undergrad and medical school. So he was a very learned person. And anytime somebody would try to correct how he was talking or whatever, he would say, did you understand what I said?
Exactly.
Kudos to your dad.
I use a lot of one-word sentences because I want something to stand out. So I suppose it's more prose than proper grammatical structure. But I think on the web, you've actually got to write a little bit more spaced out writing, like give it white space. And also, because a lot of people have such limited, you know, attention spans these days that if you give them dense text, they will just be, I feel, overwhelmed.
With Twitter and everything now, it's like, can you fit it into 140 characters? Otherwise, you know.
Or we can't process it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. And that's maybe why Twitter became my favorite tool.
I was just going to say that since you have so many followers and success on Twitter, you must be good at condensing things down into very short sentences. That's actually one of the life skills that you talked about in the article, which is actually an important one, I think. But you say that people should say no more often. And I always am saying, I actually posted it not that long ago on my Instagram, that no is a complete sentence. And I think that that's actually an important life skill for many of our listeners, especially, you know, I hate to say it, but for women who can tend to be pleasers. But why is this one of your keys to success?
I think you can get to a point, and it's especially happened for me because of my circumstances, that you have a lot of demands for appearing on podcasts and do interviews, and people want you to speak at conferences and expect you to speak for free quite often, or show up and spend a few days for free, and I'm going, well, my time's valuable. And when you strike a moment in time like happened last year, it sort of distills what's important. It makes you reassess what our priorities, and that's really been incredible. So I'm actually lucky. I've been saying no to a lot of interviews over the last 8 months, so but maybe it's something that resonated with what you were trying to do. You are trying to help people who are suffering loss. And that's why I wanted to be on your show. It's just to let people know there is hope beyond the trauma, hope beyond the loss, and that And I love Deepak Chopra's description of life or who we are as a being. He said, being human's not a noun, it's a verb. We're a different person today than what we were yesterday. I love Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now. It was one of the most transforming books ever read. The only thing we have is now. All we've got is this moment. Nothing else exists. In fact, that moment's just gone. So that's really, and Deepak, his description, which I thought was really profound, was life is a verb. It's not a noun.
Yeah, that's so true. And, we are really almost out of time. It always goes so fast, but I really want to ask you about one of my favorite things that you mentioned, which is life design. And the reason why that resonated with me so much is that I do that for myself. And it was something that I started with a business coach that I had hired a long time ago. And I really find the power of it. I mean, not just for the law of attraction or the spiritual piece of it, but really, having an actual design to your life, knowing that you can be the creator of your life, I think is so powerful.
Yeah. And in today's age, we have so many tools and resources to actually do that. And I think you've got to really listen to what you love doing and what you enjoy doing. It doesn't mean you don't do your tax and you don't do bookkeeping, but hire someone to do that if you're not good at it. But the reality too for me is, a lot of the times when we're children and teenagers, we want to please our parents. We want to do what they want us to do. And I love the quote, when I grow up, I want to be me. So it really is important, I think, to work out what are you in innate talents, what's your life experiences, and what do you love doing, and that's basically at the core of life design. And the only way you can really do that is go out and try different stuff, I think. And I think for me, going out and trying three different jobs at my pivot point when I left teaching was actually very, very important. And I think go off and try different things, and because a lot of jobs from the outside look glamorous until you dive in, such as being a lawyer.
Nothing glamorous about being a lawyer, that's for sure.
We know that.
And maybe teaching looked a little bit glamorous to me, but diving into it is basically like just a little bit of riot control, frankly. It wasn't what I was meant to do, and I listened to that, and I made some steps, and I did them early enough in life. And 10 years ago, I discovered the next step, and I haven't arrived. Life is that verb, so it's daily action where you keep changing and growing and learning, and it's fascinating.
Well, Jeff, we really appreciate that you did not say no to this interview, for sharing your recent experience and your wisdom with our listeners. I wanted to say, as you say at the end of your article, this all may sound like a lot to process, but the game of life is long, and looking at the list of these life skills can be overwhelming. But showing up every day and nurturing these habits lies at the core of success.
Yep. And it's true. And I remember Woody Allen wrote a quote, which has been bandied around for decades, said 80% of life is just showing up. I actually didn't get the full meaning of it until last year. And what he means by showing up means sitting down every day when you don't feel like doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and it's where...
Yep.
Jeff, where can our listeners find out more about you?
You're not hard to find. I'm not hard to find. Just jeffbullis.com. Jeff with a J. So.
And it's B as in boy, U-L-L-A-S.
Correct. Yes. So that's where we are. That's the digital extension of me. Drop in and say hi.
Well, thank you so much. And to our listeners who may be at a low point, one of the strong messages we hope in this episode is that the power to success does lie within you. No matter all these external difficulties that you're dealing with, be it divorce, separation, or other difficult life transitions like Jeff has recently experienced, you do have the ability to take steps every day to show up, like he said, and move forward in a better way. So thank you for joining us, Jeff.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And to everyone out there on your journey from loss to love, there is hope. And there's always another tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.